Welcome to the Council of Better Business Bureaus podcast, Better Business, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics with business and industry leaders to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
This week is Consumer Protection Week, and on the Better Business, Better Series podcast, we're looking at how businesses, big and small, can make allies out of their customers. When anyone can go online and post a negative review and complain about an experience with a company, it's vital that business leaders and employees know how to respond in the right way. Dallas Thomas is Director of Customer Advocacy with Southwest Airlines. Dallas knows that it really is all about customer service. And he tells the story of a particular day in October 2015 when Southwest had a widespread computer outage and customers were understandably unhappy.
So our customers were unable to get their boarding passes through any of the traditional means, mobile devices, online, at the ticket counter. It caused these incredibly long lines. And really, in the customer's mind, it brought them to the point of wondering, while they're in this line, is there going to be an airplane on the other side of security waiting on me? Am I going to be able to get to where I need to go, my business meeting, my family event, my kid's birthday? All of that stuff creates a huge pain point for our customers. That brought on the need to both vent from our customers as well as just coming online to seek out information.
So what's a major airline to do when things aren't going right and customers are venting online? First of all, Southwest didn't ignore the chatter.
Our social care team, which is part of our customer relations department, began answering these customers via Twitter and Facebook. And this is where our employees really stepped up and became champions for our customers. Our social care team typically, as any business does, will filter what they, the content that they'll interact with customers on those sites. On this October 11th, they responded to virtually every tweet and every Facebook post. Whether it was just being able to give the customer a reassurance that we were working to fix the problem or directing them where they could go at the airport to get the assistance that they need.
And in addition to the online response, Southwest employees went into action at the airports.
So our employees would go and they would raid our stocks of snacks that we serve on the airplanes, peanuts, pretzels, other snacks, sodas, water. They would pass those out in the lines while the masses were waiting to get checked in. And even some cities, they went above and beyond that. And this was totally organic and not directed from headquarters in any way. But we have great pictures from our Los Angeles station of our employees wandering up and down the check-in queues, carrying open boxes of pizza and paper plates, feeding the customers as they're waiting for hours in line. And we only canceled 3 flights that day. And out of those 3 cancellations, none of them had to do with this issue, because our employees were still focused on connecting our customers to where they needed to be. By the end of the day and the next day, we started receiving a lot of positive tweets and Facebook posts from our customers. Even if they weren't able to travel that day, they were happy that our social care team was being so directed in reaching out to them and providing the information that they needed when they needed it the most.
On that October day, Southwest managed to spring into action and get things moving as smoothly as possible. As Dallas points out, the number of cancellations was minimal. But more importantly, customers felt like they had a voice and were getting a real response.
So it all comes back to customer service. Our customer-facing employees were really laser-like focused on those customers and taking care of them. Our social care team was focused on taking care of those customers, while our technology department and headquarters departments worked behind the scenes to get this back on track. And ultimately, we created a lot of allies that day.
Allies, that's the key. So Dallas's story about that October day and the customer service response is an important insight into how a big business is jumping into social media and giving a voice to their customers with a capital C. It also shows how they empower not just customers, but their employees with the example of the free food handouts at the airport.
If it's not immoral, unethical, or illegal, and we can fall on the customer's side, that's what we're going to do.
For many of us, when we're looking for a place to stay for an upcoming vacation or a restaurant for a night out, Yelp is our first stop. Yelp is focused on the consumer experience. Vince Solito is SVP of Global Corporate Communications and Government Relations at Yelp.
You have to recognize that consumer feedback is vital. It's vital for you helping to understand how to run your business, but it's also vital because it really is how consumers find you, and it's also how they can get an impression of your business. 80% of consumers that are looking to transact with businesses of all sizes, including small local businesses, are not only looking for those businesses online, but they're looking at online review platforms. So for instance, that means 4 out of 5 of your customers are coming to review sites like Yelp to get information about those businesses. And why is that? Well, we've turned the corner now where consumers are really no longer interested in what you have to say about your business via your advertising. They're more interested in what your customers have to say about your business. Now, the good news is when they come to review platform sites like Yelp, they're actually seeing a lot of positive reviews. Folks may be surprised to know that 80% of all the reviews left and preserved on Yelp are 3 stars or higher, which we refer to as good or great. And so the good news is people are leaving positive feedback and consumers are finding positive feedback when they look for you.
But of course, not all reviews are positive. What can a business do to proactively respond when reviews are not what they're hoping for?
Let's have an example of how you don't answer a negative review. We've found that restaurant owners slash chef owners are particularly thin-skinned folks, and you can understand why. They put their passion and their art and their livelihood into their meals, their food service every day. They're followed closely by service professionals like doctors, particularly plastic surgeons, dentists, and lawyers, and real estate agents. Those folks really do not like when people say negative things about them online. And so it's very important that you respond in a diplomatic manner. This gentleman did not. He had a customer come into his restaurant, a one-fold restaurant in Denver. Consumer left a negative review, did not enjoy their experience, didn't enjoy the experience, the ambiance, the service, or the food. Rather than taking that feedback to heart, this owner chef went on a war of words online. Well, as you can imagine, this blew up. Why? The media loves controversy. Man bites dog. Consumer writing a negative review of a business is dog bites man. Business owner screaming at his customers online, that's man bites dog. And as you can imagine, his Yelp page blew up, his Facebook page blew up, his Twitter account blew up, and this is probably one of the more important blogs in his industry. It's called Eater, and it actually made it onto the local TV network news in Denver.
That's what you want to avoid. So what is the right way to respond? One thing to keep in mind is your potential customers.
We have a customer here who ordered a bunch of flowers from an online florist, and was very excited about the transaction, thought the flowers were going to be beautiful. They arrived, but they were wilted and they were broken, probably because of the shipping. And they were very disappointed. And so they wanted to warn their fellow customers that, hey, these flowers do look great on the website, but you could very well have a problem when they arrive. So I can only give this business 2 stars. Business owner did exactly the right thing. Even though it was probably a shipping issue and not even their own necessarily fault, they took ownership for the issue, they apologized, and they indicated they want to try to make it right. And when you're doing that, you're not just answering the consumer, but you're speaking to all of what we call the lurkers out there, people who are looking at this page, who are your potential customers. And they want to be reassured that you care and that you're actually going to do whatever you can to make your customer feel right, because that could be them in those person's shoes. And so the good news is not only did they accomplish that to the folks looking outside, but the customer themselves actually felt very well taken care of and went back in and updated their review to let the world know that this business owner reached out, provided great customer service, and as a result, they were updating their review to be a 5-star review of this business. So rather than spiraling into controversy, you probably not only saved this customer, but you also probably reassured and impressed other customers as well.
And here's another approach not recommended by Yelp.
You would be surprised how many business owners claim their page on Yelp, and then from the very same computer with the very same IP address, open up a consumer account, write themselves a 5-star review of their own business, and write a 1-star review of the competitor across the street. Sometimes they get even more aggressive and they email all of their family and friends and say, everybody come write a 5-star review of my business. And the next thing you know, that business has 10 5-star reviews the next day. Well, they're all going to go away. Why? Because our review algorithm and our review software is going to determine that, first of all these reviews from the same IP address, that's bogus. And then a flower shop like yours organically accrues reviews at the rate of about one a day. You got 50 yesterday. Something doesn't seem right there. We can't really trust those reviews unless we know more about that person. And so at the end of the day, we can only review about, sorry, we can only recommend about 75% of the reviews that get submitted to us. Now, you think about that. That only not only protects consumers from being misled by businesses that are trying to artificially inflate their reputation, but it also protects honest business owners that are just doing a good job and accruing organic reviews from being outbid by business owners that are determined to game the system.
Yelp, Southwest. These are examples from well-known brands. But what about small businesses? Rod Davis is CEO and president of the Better Business Bureau serving Southeast Florida and the Caribbean. In his experience, consumers see small businesses as how to do things right when it comes to customer service.
And I think that's because they see them as more genuine. I can relate to them. I can talk to them. They can communicate to me. So I think the challenge for large businesses is to build that same type of perception in who you are. And I think when you think about those businesses that do this really well, those are the ones that give you that kind of small town feel. I feel they care about me, they know me, and they want to work with me.
How then does a big business give customers that small town feel? Rod Davis says it's all about being genuine.
And if you look at the really great brands, if you look at the Zappos, or if you look at some of these businesses that just have that great customer service mentality, they're committing and finding the right people. And then they're training those right people to have a consultation with the customer. And they're listening and they're sharing and they are collaborating to resolve a problem. And I think that's the difference between the people who are doing it okay, a robotic response, yes, we love you, we're sorry, versus those that are really building the kind of relationships that will turn that complaint into somebody who's going to be a brand ambassador for you.
Back on the smaller business side, Rod gives the example of a window and door installation company in Florida that was getting a fair amount of negative feedback with the BBB.
There were a number of things going on, and so we sat down with the CEO and went over what we saw. And there were issues from sales issues where it seemed like the salesperson was, and there was one salesperson that came up routinely, was offering more than what was reasonably to be delivered. They also had a product issue where there were some delays. And then in Florida, there's permitting for everything. I'm currently adding an addition to my house that I started the permitting process last June, and we were approved in March of this year. So there's a lot of built-in delays in terms of the regulation there. So when we sat down and looked at that, the CEO decided, I'm going to put my phone number on the contracts that go out. And I'm going to tell them, if you've got a problem, call me. And so that CEO was dealing directly with the customers at that point. He also fired the salesperson because there was enough information there to show that he was not following their standard procedures. And then they also got a new provider for the windows that they were installing to cut down the delays there. He did that for about 90 days, got things cleaned up quite a bit.
Transparency, honesty, genuine feedback, and response. In customer service, those traits are critical to creating allies out of customers. And this begins in the hiring process.
There are many who subscribe to the convention that service is a business cost. But our data demonstrates that the superior service is an investment that can help drive business growth. Investing in quality talent and ensuring they have the skills, training, and tools that enable them to empathize and actually listen to customers who are central to providing consistently excellent service experience.
Or consider an internal saying at Southwest that they consider the business to be a customer service organization that just happens to fly airplanes.
The source of that is Colleen Barrett, who is our former president and now president emeritus. And if you know anything about the history of the company, Colleen is really behind the customer service culture at Southwest Airlines. And I like to think about it this way. You know, if for some reason we were to stop operating airplanes tomorrow, I mean, Boeing would be really unhappy. But we entered into a non-transportation related business selling packaged goods or whatever, that customer service element would totally remain unchanged. We recognize really that customers are the lifeblood of what we do at Southwest Airlines. That's why we refer to them as customers and not passengers. It's a capital C customer.
And that's, you know, created a lot of great loyalty and relationships with our customer base over 44 plus, almost 45 years now. But we actually remind each and every one of our employees that every 2 weeks when they get their paycheck, there's a line on the direct deposit stub or their paycheck that lets them know that it's made possible by your Southwest Airlines customers. Really, that's one of the hallmarks when we go out and we hire a new leader off the street that's going to come in. Is we want to make sure that they're going to be able to assimilate to the Southwest culture and the Southwest way of doing things. So even within our training department, we have special tracks built for off-the-street new leaders that completely immerse them into that Southwest culture from day one, and they're able to really get on the bus really quickly with that. And it's a constant theme throughout leadership, training functions, and meetings that we have throughout the year is that constant reminder of where we are as a culture.
To learn more about how the Better Business Bureau can help your business, visit bbb.org. For the Better Business, Better Series podcast, I'm Will Johnson.
You just enjoyed Better Business, Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next month for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com and subscribe. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the Better Business Bureau, Council of Better Business Bureaus, or program affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.